Amen. You may be seated. Ever wonder why that song we sing, we're asking Jesus to keep us near the cross? How many of us enjoy carrying our cross? How many of us enjoy dealing with pain and suffering and persecution? How many of us are just prone to wander away from that cross? It's good to be reminded. Well, take your Bibles and turn to 1 John chapter 4. The title of the sermon this morning is Discerning and Testing the Spirits. Discerning and testing the spirits. Last week we talked about having a heart check, having a heart examination. And this week we're going to be talking about another test. And this time we're going to be testing and examining beliefs, thoughts, ideas, doctrines. Just because someone says that they're a preacher, or just because some church has the name Jesus in its name, or Jehovah, or whatever, doesn't mean that what is taught is the truth. A quote from R.B. Kuyper says, "According to Christianity, the acid test of truth and goodness is scripturalness." I found a couple of quotes from an old Baptist preacher who passed on into glory some 40 years ago, and his name was Vance Havner. He says, quote, "Satan is not fighting churches. He is joining them. He does more harm by sowing tares than by pulling up wheat. He accomplishes more by imitation than by outright opposition." Think about that. This one also, a quote that hits the mark for today's message by Havner. He says, quote, "The devil is not fighting religion. He's too smart for that. He is producing a counterfeit Christianity, so much like the real one that good Christians are afraid to speak out against it. We are plainly told in the scriptures that in the last days men will not endure sound doctrine and will depart from the faith and heap to themselves teachers to tickle their ears. We live in an epidemic of this itch, and popular preachers have developed ear tickling into a fine art." End quote. So, examining beliefs, examining teaching, does it align with the truth of Scripture, or does it come from the world? This is what we're going to consider this morning from 1 John 4. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Let's pray. God, we thank you, Lord, for this teaching that you have provided for us in your word. It's a timely teaching, but we always need to be alert. Are the things being said from the pulpit, is that the truth? Is it accurate? Is what's being said in chat rooms and on blog posts, is that true? Or is that just someone's opinion? We need to be alert. Our enemy, Satan, is cunning. And he doesn't come at us with direct opposition, but by twisting sound doctrine, by twisting the word of God. And so, Lord, help us, remind us to go to the word, that your word never fails. Your word is always true. And so we thank you, Lord, for this message. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. As we begin to examine the text, the overview that we have is the Apostle John giving an exhortation to the church, a warning to be alert and to be diligent. Throughout the letter, he's warned the church about false teachers, those who say they're believers, but in truth and practicality, they don't love the brethren. They don't love the church. Indeed, many of them have proved they were false because they had left the church. And so, beyond these warnings, the Apostle John sought to encourage the church by letting them know that we, true believers, children born of God, can possess a measure of assurance of our salvation. That is, we can have confident hearts before our God. When we examine our hearts, do we observe from our behavior that we are following the commandments of God? Are we living to please our Father? That's one way that we can have assurance. So in chapter 3, verse 24, whoever keeps his commandments abides in God and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. And so John is now reminding us that there's another way that we can know we are true disciples. And that is that God has given us his Holy Spirit. When we're saved, God gives every believer the Holy Spirit who indwells them. For those who are false disciples, they do not have the Holy Spirit. They might know a lot of the Bible. Maybe they know how to speak Christianese and to toss around lingo and jargon. Maybe they're even conversant in biblical doctrines. But they do not possess the Holy Spirit in their lives. And so, as John has warned on many occasions before, so he issues forth this warning in verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Notice how he uses that language of love. Beloved. Loved ones. The church is the beloved of God. We love God, God loves us, and we love each other. We are the beloved church of Christ. It's important that we understand that this exhortation is couched in the love of God. It's given to those who are loved by God. Loved ones. Think of how we teach our children and we warn them of dangers that they might encounter and need to avoid in the world. We do this because we love them. We don't want to see them to get taken advantage of. We don't want to see them to get hurt. And it's the same with the church. God loves the church. And he provides teachings and warnings to protect his children. He loves us. He cares for us. And he is good to us by giving us the truth of his word. So once again, John says, verse 1, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. The spirits referred to here is not the Holy Spirit. It's not even necessarily a reference to demonic spirits per se, but it's really speaking of the spirits of the world, those who brought their false belief, their false ideas. They tried to smuggle them into the church and eventually ended up leaving the church. They were wrong. They were untrustworthy. And so John warns the church not to believe everything that they hear. They had seen it before. They needed to keep their eyes open, their ears open. False doctrine, heresies, cannot be allowed to take root. It cannot be tolerated. 1 Timothy 6 says, if anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness, he's puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy craving for controversy and for quarrels about words which produce envy, dissension, slander, evil suspicions, and constant friction among people who are depraved in mind and deprived of the truth, imagining that godliness is a means of gain. The church is called a pillar and buttress of the truth. And so John exhorts the church and charges them to discern. It's not a call to passivity. It's a call to action. The church needs to test these spirits to see if they are of God. Does it accord with the truth of the scriptures? Does it accord with what Jesus taught? Or does this teaching contradict the scriptures? Does the teaching follow the commands of God, or is it opposed to God and in line with the thinking of this world? You should be doing this every time you listen to preaching or teaching. The podcast that you listen to, the ideas that come over the airwaves across the radio, television, computer, or whatever, are these ideas, are they thoughts from God or from the world? We must evaluate them. Are we being influenced by the Spirit of the age. I was reminded of a song from my teenage years back in the 1980s called Computer Brains. It goes like this. Everything that you do and see, one more event in your memory, every bit takes another bite without control over wrong or right. You must screen every entry made. The consequences must be weighed. The only way to security is every thought in captivity. Computer brains put garbage in. Computer brains get garbage out. Computer brains programming you. Computer brains, what can you do? Break out. Are you a user or being used? Has your memory been abused? Take random samples from your mind and analyze what you may find. You can clear all your memory and be transformed when you find the key. Think on things that will bring you peace. Confusing data soon will cease. Pretty clever use of a lot of computer terms that were floating around back then. But we have to be aware. Those ideas, they come in. Are we paying attention? Or are they just taking hold? In the second half of verse 1, John tells us then why the church needed to discern and to test the spirits. It says, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. And surely here John has in mind those who had left the church. He says they had left to go after the world. John had already mentioned that those who seceded, those who had left the church, were those who were in love with the world. In 1 John chapter 2, he says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. Children, it is the last hour, and as you've heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they all are not of us. Those who had left were not of God. They did not possess the Holy Spirit, and consequently, they went into the world. Paul mentioned one of the men who had been traveling with him abandoned him, apostatized. Why? Because he loved the world. 2 Timothy 4 says, for Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. So, false teachers, false leaders, false converts, apostates, these are nothing new to the church. We must be aware and we must be alert. Since we know this then to be true, how then do we go about testing the spirits? It's what we're called to do. Well, what John does is he gives us a doctrinal test. This test was what the early church was dealing with. It revolved around the incarnation of Jesus. There were heretics who were saying that it wasn't necessary to believe that Jesus, the Son of God, took to himself a physical body. Just as some cults today say that they think Jesus' teaching were good, but he really didn't die on the cross. Or that he isn't God, but only one of many gods. Some believe Jesus is a good prophet, but not God. Jesus says he is the only way to the Father. No one can see him without Jesus. But that's too exclusive, some would say. Surely there's other ways to heaven. The former Roman Catholic Pope told a boy that his atheist dad would go to heaven because he had allowed his kids to get baptized. And the media praised the Pope for that. Does it matter what you believe as long as you get emotional chills down your spine? John teaches us here that it really matters what you believe. Verse 2. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. The incarnation of Jesus really matters. If Jesus did not have a physical life, then he did not die a physical death. And we are still lost in our sins. Because Jesus' death cleanses us and atoned for our sins. I like this line from John Blanchard, quote, "The Son of God became the Son of Man in order that the sons of men might become the sons of God." And then here's a pithy quote by Spurgeon. He says, "He that made man was made man." You see, this is a supernatural revelation of the truth of Christ. This doesn't make sense to the world. This sounds like myth to those who only look at the world from a rational or empirical worldview. This is silly to those who can only reason from their human senses. You see, this is divine truth revealed by God to man in order that they may know the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior. Jesus came into this world, took to himself flesh, in order that he would lay down his life to redeem his people from being under the curse of sin and death. He really lived a physical life, and he really suffered a physical death, and he really resurrected to physical life. These are not minor points of doctrine. This is essential to true faith. Paul argued for the physical resurrection of Jesus in 1 Corinthians 15. He said, "For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. And you are still in your sins. And those along who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive." So you see here the incarnation, the physical resurrection of Jesus, these aren't just stories. They're essential truths that must be believed. Next, we consider then the negative side of this test in verse 3. Every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. When we examine doctrines or beliefs, we need to consider what is the real confession being made. Is the confession in line with what the Bible teaches about who Jesus is? Or does it confess something else? Does it confess Jesus is not from God? The Mormons call themselves the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. But if you know anything about their teachings, they do not believe in the same Jesus that we do. They don't have the same God of the Bible. These are false beliefs. These are false doctrines that demonstrate they are not from God. Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe in the Trinity, that Jesus is the divine Son of God, the second person of the triune Godhead. They might have Jehovah in their name, but their false beliefs once again demonstrate they are not from God. Christian Scientist, which is neither Christian nor science, their beliefs do not confess Jesus. Therefore, they are not from God. And so we could go on to discuss a whole host of other false beliefs. But the real takeaway is that we must be discerning. We need to test the spirits. The world wants to seduce you with false beliefs, to twist the truth just enough so that it sounds good. It sounds plausible. But we must make examination and assess it accurately. Paul says in Romans 12:2, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." And in 2 Corinthians 10, "We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ." Because this is the spirit of the Antichrist. And it is all around us. And it is even in churches. We have a cunning enemy. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and is now in the world already. So, church, loved ones of God, we must take this exhortation seriously. We must be diligent so that we're not tossed to and fro. In Ephesians 4, Paul writes, Jesus gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. That's you. That's each one of you. You each have a part in the body and in the health of the local church. And so, let's receive this exhortation given in love for our mutual edification. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this word.
For we know that there are those who would desire to disrupt and subvert the faith, our beliefs. I don't know if it's the weather is warming up and the Mormons are out and about, but I know that my daughter and my son-in-law have already had two visits from the Mormons making their rounds. And so, Lord, let us be equipped. Let us be alert and diligent that we hold to the truth, that we hold to sound doctrine, and that we examine and test the spirits, the ideas that are coming, trying to creep in from the church. Help us to be vigilant, to guard our loved ones, that they may not be led astray, that they may grow stronger in the faith and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, God, for setting us free and for giving us the truth, the divine revelation of who your Son is, so that we may believe properly, truthfully, accurately. Bless your people, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen.